someone to call me up tonight. Just to ask if they think I'm doing all right. This depression doesn't seem to be going away. Make it to 30 before I decide anything.
Say that you need me. We're going to get started.
Studio 6, CJSF's video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances and interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
That's so nice to hear.
It's when we're at our best, personally and professionally, I feel like.
I saw you guys at a show for Mr. Merlot at Toast Collective. I was wondering if you guys had any local favorites in the scene.
Manager is so good, coming out with a new tape really soon. He's something to look out for.
The series engages artists in the conversations about the community and cool topics that affect them the most.
The way your vocals spin in, right, kind of in this other layer, and your guitar and your drums, and you're able to make this like impressive amount of sound for just the two of you. So I just wanted to get into that.
You can watch the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube channel or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
And welcome back. The track right before the PSA was by Jamal Padmore. The song was called In Five. This is off their album, The Woos. In Vancouver, I am a skateboarder. I live really close to a very, I would say, probably like the most popular skate spot in Vancouver right now, which is the Britannia Courts, which is just a DIY that's been built on, it's a DIY that's been built on this old, on the Britannia High School's old tennis court. And so it's been there for I almost want to say it's been around for more than 5 years now. But it is a spot that is, pretty much completely skater owned. Like, there is an agreement with the community center that skaters are allowed to skate and like build obstacles on, on the property, in the tennis courts, and they're allowed to skate there. And it's kind of like almost a semi-permanent space. For now, at least. There's talks about how the community center is about to do like a big seismic upgrade to upgrade to infrastructure on the community center, and the Britannia courts are not going to be included in those plans, which is a big thing the community is rallying for. But I kind of want to talk today a little bit about the nature of it as a DIY space, because I feel like it can be very interesting and something that can be really interesting to talk about, in the sense of like who the space is for. And so right now what's sort of happening in Quartz is, for the last couple of years, I feel like Quartz has this notion of being this place where you can learn any trick you want. Nothing at Quartz, well, there are definitely like very big and high impact features to skate at the courts, but there's an emphasis that it's also like a diverse space and a space welcoming to people who are beginners. And so for the longest time, there was like a bunch of like little like baby quarter pipes for people to like learn to skate transition on, little pads and stuff to ollie, just sort of like little features for people who want to skate sort of a low impact style, and instead of sort of big, steep or like tall features, gives them a chance to have their features to skate at, as well as bigger features for more advanced skaters, to skate. But just recently, some of the people who like help maintain the courts took out a bunch of beginner features. For example, like a lot of the little like quarter pipes were taken off. They had a big project of taking off like a big hip feature, which kind of was like in the way. And they've done like a very good job of sort of like cleaning up the courts and like decluttering it, which is an important thing. Courts kind of has become this, like, you know, everybody wants their obstacle to skate, so therefore there's kind of like a bit of a saturation of obstacles around the skate park. This is compared to sort of the old style of courts, which was more, I want to say, like, less of a skate park and more of a plaza where people brought, you know, people brought obstacles to skate. So it's kind of more like, you know, I would say it used to kind of be more akin to another sort of famous DIY spot. There's this spot in New York called Tompkins Square, which is just like this big open fenced off asphalt, like hockey court, like street hockey court or like tennis court almost. Like, it's just like just big space, and you know, there's no permanent features there. It's not really a skate park, but you know, people like rollerbladers, skaters alike will bring obstacles and stuff. So they've done a very good job at like decluttering the space, but because of that, there is there's a severe sort of lack of beginner features right now. For example, I mean, not anymore, but like the sort of tiny like manual pad slash ledge that people, everybody skated, somebody like bumped it up, raised it maybe about like 3 inches, which, you know, isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things, but can feel more scary to skate. And a lot of the baby quarter pipes are gone, which for good reason, because, you know, the surface of the ramps has been like rotting just because of, you know, wear and rain and whatnot. And I think, like, you know, the intentionality is just to sort of like salvage what we can before the fall, and then things will kind of get like rebuilt again, you know, after the winter time. But the problem lies is that, you know, a lot of people who kind of want to skate these small features are kind of a little bit like, you know, in disagreement with the, I think the building style that some other skaters want to go to. So it's a bit of a clash right now, and kind of begs the question of like, who gets to decide the space? Sort of more, you know, more on the more like socially aware side. Like, I think that it was a little, and this is, you know, strictly my opinion, obviously, but it was, I think, a little bit hasty to take away all these like small beginner obstacles from people who might need to skate them and whatnot, and kind of need those in the space in order to like feel like they can, you know, do their thing in the space. Also, in regards to this event that happens, it's an annual, you know, queer slash like girls skate event called Stop, Drop, and Roll that happens every year, with an emphasis on like bringing a skate competition to, you know, skating girls who kind of deserve their sort of spot, like in the spotlight, and sort of like it also as a gathering thing too. And it's interesting that all these beginner obstacles have been taken away, because like I think a lot of, you know, the girls comp has a big emphasis on the beginner section. There's like the competition that a lot of, like, for example, like a lot of my skate friends went to, and like my girlfriend went to, and they kind of rely on these kind of small features in order to sort of like have something to skate, you know. And it doesn't mean that, you know, big features aren't getting skated, but you know, I think it plays to the sort of like diversity and welcoming to the space, you know, to have features that identifiably are small. On the other hand, you know, I get it, like at the same time people kind of want less things at the courts and bigger things in order to sort of exercise their creativity a little more. For example, I think another good example of sort of this sort of you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of this conflict between low impact and high impact skate spaces. I remember for a really long time there was like this really, really tiny like pad that people were like kind of learning how to ollie on, and you know, it was not, you know, there are other pads like it at the courts that people could obviously ollie off, but it was small enough that people could bring it over to the side and sort of be outside of the flow of the skate park and just sort of practice their tricks, you know, practice learning some of the basics, you know. And then that manual pad got moved on top of a quarter pipe in order to make it like a really steep bank. And so now it's become this like super steep and super like cool and creative feature. Like people who can skate it are doing some really like, you know, they're pumping up to the wall pretty, you know, it's become this sort of wall ride feature where it's like laid up against the wall. People can like ride up a quarter pipe much higher. And so that's kind of where this sort of like conflict a little bit lies, where, you know, people really want to see these creative and like unique features, and inadvertently that involves them being sort of like a little bit more dangerous and a little bit more like high impact, but at the same time that sort of is sort of negligent to like some of the other communities that use the space. So I mean, I kind of feel like where I stand about it, I feel a little more of a centrist perspective in terms of like, well, you know, I think those having small features are important, but I also think that like at the same time, the small features are there to work up to sort of the bigger features. And it is possible still to learn tricks on the bigger features, albeit maybe not as protected as having them off to the side. But I do think that like the decluttering is something that like courts well like needed, to be honest. And so I think it's very interesting to think about like the, you know, the nature of skate spaces and high impact and low impact spaces, because now that I think about like most skate parks in Vancouver, there aren't a lot of like, I would say like beginner friendly skate parks. Like there really isn't a ton. And I think that's sort of like the design philosophy going forward with, you know, the Vancouver Skate Coalition and, you know, the Vancouver Parks Board trying to make new skate parks and stuff. I can see it happening with China Creek Skate Park that's getting, China Creek Skate Park, which is like an old, like very vintage, you know, two teacup bowl skate park on like Broadway and basically like Clark. Which is getting resurfaced, and they're putting like a bunch of like tiny quarter pipes for people to skate and like a bunch of small features. And, you know, it kind of does beg the question though, a little bit of like, well, where are these low impact spaces for people to like be beginners and like learn how to skate and stuff? And, you know, almost like, I almost want to like propose like a study, almost like maybe a bit of like a geography study, which is, you know, something I study in school, but I'd love to go and sort of analyze what the, you know, the amount of like low impact features there are in a skate park and sort of like maybe weigh that out to like what are the like kind of more higher impact features comparatively. Anyways, I thought that was an interesting little thing and a little tidbit on the drama that's happening in the skate scene. Anyways, I'm just kidding. It's not really drama, but anyways, on to some more music here. Next track, I've got a song by Debbie Christ called I've Got Time here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Thank you.
that was Debbie Christ, I've Got Time, here on CGSF 90.1 FM. I'm coming down to the bottom of the hour for today, so I'm just going to sign off a little bit, but if you like what you heard this week, be sure to tune in again next week. I'll be back at the same time, that is Thursdays at, what time is my show at? 1 p.m. I don't know why that was so hard for me to remember. I could have just looked at the clock. Thursdays at 1 p.m. every week. So be sure to, if you like what you heard, tune in again next week. I'll be back with the same thing, talking about little funny things I want to talk about and playing my funny little tracks. My last song, maybe second to last song of the week, I've got another Debbie Christ song called Spell. Enjoy this one, and I'll see you guys next week.
Could you feel my spell?